Hello and welcome back to Full Circle with Sean. I'm your host, Sean. And as promised from the last episode, today we'll be talking about transitioning from military to civilian life. So if you haven't watched episode 4 and 5, it does tie in a bit with my wife. And I recommend you go back and listen to those if you haven't. Now, for you who don't know, I joined the Army at 17 and I did 2 combat tours, one in Albania during the Kosovo conflict, and one in Iraq during Operation Iraqi Freedom. So we get back from Operation Iraqi Freedom. Now remember, I was ordered back in. So I was green to gold. I went to university, and then I end up going out of university right back in to the military to go to Iraq. So I get back from Iraq, and it's time for me to get out or extend, right? So I've decided I'm getting out. And based on the feedback from the colonel that I was working under in the base, that told me I should go out and start my own thing. Now, I still wasn't really motivated to start my own thing, I guess you could say that, because, you know, it's a business, right? It's intricate. It's complex. It's something that other people do. So I was getting out, looking for a job, ended up finding a job in Las Vegas as a generator mechanic. So I get out of the military, I move to Las Vegas, and I start working as a generator mechanic. Now, was I very good at generator mechanic? Not really. I mean, I had the basic skills, and in the military, it's all about ripping everything apart and just changing it out, right? So I could split a generator in half, I could change stuff, I could do basic troubleshooting, but not to the level that a commercial company required me to be. So I took a lot of mentorship and a lot of working with me, which is great. The management was fantastic and helped me through those times. So I get out of the military in Las Vegas, working for a generator company, and everything's weird, right? So when I was in the military, I had a big support network. I had, you know, financial stability. I was in debt, don't get me wrong. One of the things with the military is as soon as you get in the military, everybody will give you a loan. I mean, I think we had, what was it, encyclopedia salespeople one time. I actually bought them too. I mean, I was young, right? So get your encyclopedias and you know what? We'll take it out of your pay. So you just sign here, it'll come out of your pay. So most soldiers, especially in early days and even later on, they want the fancy car, they can get it. And they just leverage themselves and they end up getting, well, pretty much no pay. And I think that's a tactic in a way because it keeps people in the military. So I'm leveraged. I'm out. You know, my support network is gone, and I'm alone, right? Because I'm a foster kid, so I didn't really have any family. I'm alone. So I tried the whole dating scene, and that didn't really work. And yeah, I was just alone. And then obviously that's when my now wife reconnected with me and I found out she lived through everything, and then I went down to the recruitment office, and I went back over to Iraq, not as a soldier, but as a civilian, and worked in Iraq, and then visited her every 6 months until we got engaged and we got married. So that's a long story short, but lots of struggles. I mean, the things that you go through just when you decide to get out anyways. I mean, think of any change in life, but this isn't just a change in location. This isn't just a change in anything else. It's a massive change. You're changing careers. You're changing locations. You're moving away from friends, and it's a massive change. And at the same time, I had a little bit of PTSD from the military. I mean, I was in a Chinook that caught on fire in a hot zone, and we ended up landing inside a base and running off the aircraft, but I had PTSD for all the things that I saw and all the things that happened over there. So, but that was before PTSD was a popular term. It was more of a suck it up and drive on thing back then. I guess if I was going to give any advice to, you know, people when they go in the military, is get financial counseling. You know, don't make those same mistakes that I made and save. And like I said in previous episodes, we're a instant gratification kind of society now. And that really will hurt you in the military when anybody will give you a loan or anything you want because they can take it right out of your paycheck. Now, as a contractor, a little bit better, right? Because I'm surrounded by the military again, and I can form the relationships, and I have the support structure again. A little bit harder because I wasn't embedded as a unit. I was a civilian, and I went to Iraq, and then they needed somebody to go to Africa. So I went. I went to Africa. I actually supported the Navy SEALs for a bit, which was fantastic. And then, yeah, then I'm getting married and everything, and over to Australia. And then it's like I just got out again because I had all that support structure again, and I was almost back in that military mindset. And so I come over, and again, you know, change of location, change of careers, like, what am I going to do? And that led to everything that I talked about in the previous episodes about starting the IT company and going on from there. Not that I wanted to, you know, I did look for a job. I wanted to secure my new wife, our future, have kids. And I didn't know that I would succeed as an entrepreneur. And yeah, I kind of got pushed into that. And then once I got a taste of it, a taste of having my own thing, right? Because it's as good as hard as I work and as good as I make it. I wanted to be in charge of my own destiny, and I wouldn't change that now. So I guess if we look at it, if somebody's getting out of the military, you know, A, did you mess up your financials while you were in? And that's not a showstopper. You know, you still might be able to survive out there, and you can work with your creditors to survive and get yourself a start. But better if you fix all that the best that you can, or at least put a buffer. You know, one of my friends calls it your black day money, right? So you should always have a buffer that you never touch unless the clouds are black and it's dark and you have no way out. And yeah, so he calls it his black day money. But yeah, so financial is important, but then, you know, set up your own support structures. You know, you first get out, you're living on your own, new area, new job, you know, join a club, you know, check online at Meetup. Meetup has lots of things for people to do, and I'm not sponsored by anybody. Yeah, I'm too early in that, but still, I tell it how it is. And Meetup is great, so you can start your own support network. So that's super important. There's also veterans groups. So I'm part of the VFW. I'm part of the American Legion, and the people in those groups, they understand what you're going through as well. Obviously, everybody goes through something a little bit different, but they do understand, and they can provide some support to you as far as emotional support. And, you know, you need a sounding board. I found that's really important in life, right? So you need a sounding board. So what we think in our heads versus what is reality is always a little skewed, right? that's why I always say that, you know, you should have friends from all cultures, from all walks of life, because you're walking around, somebody says something, you're like, oh yeah, that's just typical of whatever, right? But maybe it's not. And your preconceptions can really mess up your life. So that's something that you should always be challenging yourself with as well, is I just thought that way, or I somebody said something like that, and I was like, yeah, but are you sure? Should you said yeah? Should you have challenged that? You know, that's what sets people apart, the people that just, you know, engage in talking about preconceptions about other people, other groups, everything like that. So you should always have a big network. You know, acquaintances is fine. Would they say that if you have, you know, five best friends, you're pretty lucky, and everybody thinks that, you know, their Facebook page when it blows up is they've got a million best friends, but you don't. You know, you have some people that like to listen to you every once in a while, or, you know, see who's doing the more important thing, which is funny because I don't really do socials. Yeah, I know. I started a podcast, right? I don't really do socials. I do LinkedIn. I got off Facebook years ago, MySpace before that. For you that remember MySpace, I did Twitter a little bit, but more for the company. And really, I just don't like drama. I don't like the drama that's in them. so much more things that I'd rather do than focus on that kind of stuff. And it really engulfs your life. You will feel so much better when you get off some of that stuff. And I'm not saying like, yeah, my wife keeps my Facebook somewhat active, I guess, because she talks to a friend of ours through my Facebook, but that's, I think, Facebook calls or something like that. Again, see, there you go. I'm tech, and I have no idea. And I guess the next thing, if you get out of military life, is what do you enjoy doing? Your job and what you were trained for in AIT, advanced individual training, for those who don't know, it isn't what you have to stick with for your life. In fact, you can use the military if you're thinking, oh, I'm going to get out in a couple of years, or you're early on in a contract, or you're in your second contract, then you can think about, okay, maybe you can do night school. You know, they have the GI Bill or the funds for that. I don't know if they still do the GI Bill. I had the GI Bill and I didn't use it, but I had it. But there are ways to get veterans benefits for that kind of stuff. It's setting yourself up, right? You are either your best friend or your worst enemy. So you have to work on you and find out what's your passion. If your passion is art, go take art classes, you know, and don't listen to other people where they say, oh, you know, there's not much money in certain things. Or, you know, I think my brother wanted to be a teacher and my mother was like, oh, but you make good money at what you do. Why would you want to be a teacher? And if that's your passion, then be a teacher. You know, it's one life. It's a short life. And if you're not happy in your life, what are you doing? You might be somebody that likes to go and do the same thing every day. So be a factory worker. And that's perfectly fine. In fact, the society that we live in now needs everybody, needs all walks of life and everybody's passions to come in. I was doing a job in with our Roger, and we were putting it in a sewer, right? And the person that was there worked for the water board and just super passionate about sewers. That's what that person's passionate about. So you got to find your passions and find out where you can focus those in a career, in a job, in a after work thing. So you need to find yourself and what makes you happy. And as I always said as well, is, you know, you might think, well, I need another person to make me happy, right? And don't get me wrong, I was quite lonely when I got out, and I tried all that, you know, to find somebody and everything. But it's, if you're not happy by yourself, then you're relying on the other person. And then you're not going to be happy forever, almost, unless that other person gives you the attention that you need. And that's not really a healthy relationship. Sure, you do want to connect like that, and you do want to make each other happy, but not like a job, you know? So again, a bit off tangent, as I like to do. So let's just go over a couple of misconceptions. So as a military person getting out of the military, you think, okay, I've got military experience, everybody's going to love that, I'm disciplined, so I'm going to get immediate job opportunities. Well, that's a misconception, is that military skills will immediately transition to civilian job offers. And some military skills are transferable, or you might work for a defense company, but they can take quite a bit of time. In fact, the right time to start looking for a job if you're going to get out is before you get out, and quite a bit before you get out. And then a lot of military people think that, you know, it'll be an easy fit into the civilian workplace. You know, they're disciplined and should be an easy fit. But, you know, the differences, the cultural differences between military and civilian work are significant. Then you have the mental health stereotypes, right? So you got a lot of companies or people thinking that veterans will struggle with mental health issues like PTSD. And I did struggle with PTSD before it was a thing. And while mental health is a serious concern, most veterans don't face these issues. And a lot of them that do are fully capable of leading successful and fulfilling lives after service. And then we go to, say, education benefits, right? So veterans often believe that their education benefits will be straightforward. But the benefits system an educational path can pose a lot of challenges. I mean, how do you access stuff and how do you survive when you get out if you are going to do school, if you're going to use your funds to do school afterwards? And then a lot of veterans think that, you know, their awards mean so much when you get out. And they do to you, to your family, to the people that you affected, and maybe you've changed lives because of some amazing things that you've done. But they don't mean anything to almost anybody else. So it's just the way that it is. I mean, I requested my VA records, a year ago, so that I can rebuild a Class A uniform to show my kids all the medals that I have, because I have quite a few. And I'm still waiting because the system is just rubbish and it's really hard to get your records, which sucks, you know. In fact, funny story, I got out of the military. So when I was in the military, obviously I was foster kid and everything. I was never taught to take care of my teeth very well, right? So I'm in Germany, I'm in the military, my teeth are just pretty bad. And there was a dentist who saw me when I had a big problem and decided that they were going to fix everything. Now, the thing about dentists and doctors in the military is either they're brand new, right? In the U.S. military, at least. So they're either brand new and learning, or they're not very good. Because and you do get the rare one that is really good, and it's their passion. They want to be military. They want to help. So, you know, all praise to them. But the majority of them are either brand new or not good, because they in the States, you can get out and as a dentist make a lot of money, or as a doctor make a lot of money. So and it's a different life. But so this dentist took me under his wing and he did all this work, and a couple years later everything was breaking really bad and falling out, and my mouth was a disaster. So I get out of the military and they told me that because of the dental work couldn't be done because I got out before they could do it, that I could go to a local and they would pay for that. So I requested my records to get that started about a year later. And they said, oh, sorry, we lost your records. So I didn't get any of it done. In fact, when I came to Australia, my teeth were so bad that I ordered, that was a funny story, right? I ordered the fake teeth. So the ones that you use for Halloween, right? And I'd cut those apart. And then they have this wax that melts in hot water. And I would build myself one missing tooth in the front and a chipped tooth around the side. And I'd stick it in like a denture, like a self-made denture. And I could talk and you wouldn't know that I had teeth problems. And it only lasted about a month every time. And I'd take it out if I wasn't at meetings and stuff like that. But then it only lasted like a month every time. And I'd have to, you know, I started ordering sets and building them and everything. And then when the company got big enough, I actually went in and I got all on four. So they actually, my teeth were so bad that they ripped them all out and put screws and permanent teeth. So yeah, it's actually one of my things. One of my passions is dental, because I was sick all the time. I had chest infections. I had all sorts of problems, and it was from my teeth. But dentist work is so expensive, and I believe that that's a standard of living. That's it is like medical, like going to see a doctor. And I know doctor visits are expensive, but they're doable to see a general practitioner or whatever. They're, it's doable, but it's not doable to pay $4,000 to cap a tooth. That's just not, it's not feasible for most people. And it's not fair, because it can lead to heart problems, obviously diseases, you know, getting sick more often, and a really lower standard of living. So it is one of the things that I want to do in the company is give free dental eventually. And the accountants told me that it's considered a fringe benefit and it could be bad on the wages of your people because you have to declare it. And I'm like, why does the government have to get involved at that point? Why can't we give more, especially with things like dental or medical, to our employees. I mean, I don't understand that at all, because it's a, like I say, it's a standard of living, and it's one of my passions to help people with. So I'll deal with that later in business anyways. So yeah, that's about it for this episode. And the next episode, we're going to talk about networking, because I think that's a really important skill to have, and it's hard, and public speaking, and I used to join a networking group. I had to give the 30-second overview, I think it was, they called it, and they go all around, and everybody had to stand for 30 seconds, and I would sweat, and it was tough. But we'll talk about all of that, and how to hone your skills a little bit, and why it's important, and not just in professional life, but in personal life, as we build our relationships, our mentors, and the path that we want to be on in our life. So thanks again for joining me at Full Circle with Sean, and I look forward to chatting in the next one.
End of the road, we've come so far. In the circle of life, with Sean we're stars. From the depths of care, to the force we go. In the twists of life, we reap and sow. Journey on, through every phase. Find your strength, in the darkest of days.